You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and man, oh man, am I still buzzing from this queen bee of an episode all about the borderline magical powers of the superfoods straight from the beehive. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. While we're on the topic of making healthy eating a whole lot less hellish, although that's what we're always on the topic of here on the Party in My Plants podcast, one of my favorite essential non-hilly healthy staples, as you probably know by now, is Amazing Grass Greens Powder. And I am so excited that Amazing Grass is sponsoring this podcast episode. I truly, honestly, wholeheartedly adore Amazing Grass's amazing grasses, which I'm sure you're well aware of if you follow me on Instagram. Their green superfood powders are an insanely tasty blend of nutritious greens, phytonutrient-packed fruits, veggies, grasses, digestive enzymes, and probiotics that I can't and I don't want to live without. And it just so happens that one of the kitchen tools I'm going to outline in today's episode is the vehicle through which I enjoy Amazing Grass. Amazing. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40%, not just some measly 10%, 40% off. That's almost half off your Amazing Grass order if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. My guest today is the bee's knees, and not just because she's a beekeeper. Though Carly Stein is, and Carly Stein is also the founder of Beekeepers Naturals, a line of busy bee-powered wellness products that she can swear on her tonsils will up-level your life. Carly left her career as an analyst at Goldman Sachs a couple years ago when she got stung by passion and stuck on a mission to bring the healing powers of the hive to regular people like you and me who don't even really know what a hive is, but like to take care of our health and don't mind the taste of honey. After hearing Carly's story, how I built this style, learning a little about bee culture, and understanding a lot about how the goos and jellies that the bees use to thrive can really help us thrive too, I can't stop buzzing. I guarantee you won't be buzzless too. So you were, prior to being a beekeeper, an analyst at Goldman Sachs just a couple-ish years ago. How did you go from an analyst at Goldman Sachs to a beekeeper?
Yeah, it's quite a unique transition.
I think you're probably the only one on the planet who has made that transition.
I honestly think I might be the only person who's gone banker to beekeeper, but it was a great move. So really what happened was I started beekeeping when I was in college, and I did it out of necessity. Basically, I'm allergic to most common cold and flu medications and most over-the-counter antibiotics. And so when I get sick at anything from, you know, cold and flu to strep throat, it's really challenging for me to heal and recover because I can't really just turn to the conventional methods to heal.
Oh, wow. So like when the doctors ask you, or when everyone, you know, they're just like, are you allergic to anything? Even like at massages sometimes, well, that's for like massage oils. But yeah, you go to the doctor and you're like, you're allergic to anything.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, nah. Yeah, for me, it's everything.
How did you learn that you were allergic to all that?
Oh, I learned from a super young age. So I mean, it's something I've been dealing with for a long time. And it was just sort of, you know, the state of affairs for me. It was annoying, but it was tolerable. Yeah. And I learned how to handle it and, you know, make the best of a challenging situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was just sort of the state of affairs for me. And so I did a semester abroad and I was traveling around Europe as a college student. And I ended up getting really, really sick. I had really severe tonsillitis. This is something I had been struggling with, recurring tonsillitis, but it was really severe and I was going to have to go home to have surgery because, you know, most conventional forms of recovery or forms of medication just don't work for me. And I was really upset about that because, you know, college student and my big time abroad. So I was really looking for anything to keep me out there, like anything at all that could heal me that wasn't going to cause an adverse reaction. And I went into a pharmacy when I was in Italy, when I was in Florence, and the pharmacist took, beautiful place. The pharmacist took one look at my swollen chipmunk cheeks and she said, you need propolis. And I was like, okay, what's propolis? And she said, you know, the bees. And I was like, oh, so honey. And she's like, no, completely different, propolis. And so I was like, okay. And at that point in time, I didn't know the bees did anything beyond honey, but learned a lot.
I think that's where a lot of listeners probably are right now. So to be continued, cliffhanger here, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, all those things.
But yeah, so I used this strange propolis stuff. I was just desperate to find something to cure me, and it ended up really working. So, you know, in about five, it functioned in my body basically the way antibiotics do for normal people. And I'd never had that experience of full recovery like that. So it was kind of a game changer for me, and really exciting. And so I made a full recovery using propolis. And as I continued my time abroad, I was traveling around, I was using propolis just to kind of stay healthy. And, you know, I wasn't living the healthiest lifestyle as a college student traveling around Europe. But despite that, propolis was really keeping me feeling well. And as somebody who was just always sick, always run down, chronic sore throats, it was, you know, a remarkable difference. And then as I was traveling around as well, you know, Europe's really progressive with their natural healthcare environment. Mm-hmm. And so as I was traveling around, I noticed that things like propolis, royal jelly, bee pollen, all of these products that I had never heard of before were quite commonplace in Europe. So that was just sort of a second moment where I was like, one, this thing has fixed me. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And two, these ingredients are widely used all across these different places in Europe. How have I not heard of them in North America?
Right. Like I wrote down questions here. I'm going to have you define all of those things. Meanwhile, it sounds like that's just the norm out there, which is totally whack.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty crazy. And I started integrating all these different health products into my routine, and I was really feeling better than ever. So I started, you know, I remember in Copenhagen getting bee pollen on a smoothie bowl, and when I was in France using royal jelly in my skincare, and just these things that are like really widely accepted, I started to use and enjoy and experience the benefits. And I was just noticing a really drastic difference in my health, which was, you know, really exciting. And I just sort of fell in love with bee products and became kind of obsessed with the different healing applications of bee products. And when I came home to finish up college, of course, during midterms, I got sick again. And so the second I got sick, I was like, okay, well, I know what to do. I just need to get propolis. So first of all, I had a really hard time finding propolis. I went to pretty much every health food store. Nobody really knew what I was talking about. And then finally, I did find it. But when I found it at a local farmer's market, I had an allergic reaction to it.
Oh, and, so yeah. Cut was something else.
Yeah, so I think it was pesticide exposure. And so that's when I started learning about the fact that so many bee products out there, there's a huge variance in quality. And a lot of the bee products, unfortunately, because of our agricultural environment, even, you know, these artisanal organic ones, we think we're safe because we're buying at the farmer's market.
And it's like $30 for a jar.
But we're actually not at all, because, you know, a lot of the local bee products we're buying, if you think about our local farmland, even if it's organic, it's, you know, the bees aren't, it's not the cleanest for the bees. So even if it is organic, here's the thing about bees, they can fly. So just because your bees are kept on certified organic grounds doesn't mean they're going to stay there. So if the bees fly at all, they're going to expose themselves to trace amounts of pesticides, and, you know, that can really affect the product quality. And for me, who's so reactive, I was basically buying this. I bought this organic propolis at the farmer's market that was super expensive and looked really beautiful. And what happened was the bees were kept on certified organic land, but they were flying to their next door neighbors and they were exposing themselves to pesticides, and there was trace amounts of it in the product, and it made me really sick.
Wow.
So I was kind of at this, between a rock and a hard place. I knew what would cure me. It was propolis. I'd experienced it before. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find it anywhere. And when I did find it,
made you sick.
majorly reacting to it. Exactly. So I was like, you know what? I have to take matters into my own hands. And I guess I could do this myself. And so I found a beekeeper who was located in a super remote area. So it was pesticide free.
What like and state? Where was this all happening?
This is in Canada. This is in Canada. So I grew up in Toronto. And, you know, I'm really fortunate that this happened in Canada, because I would not have been able to create this situation anywhere else, I think.
Anywhere maybe. Else cost the United States. Is that what you mean?
A little bit. but yeah, so this is happening in Canada. Okay. I got online. I found a local beekeeper. You know, he was working in Victoria, British Columbia on the island, literally the middle of nowhere. And so the bees can forage for a 5-mile radius. So I knew I had to find a location that had 5 miles on all ends of clean ground. And that's what I did. So I found this beekeeper. He more than met my standards when it came to clean grounds. And I basically became his apprentice. And I would work on my weekends. I'd work for him for free. He taught me everything that I now know about the bees. And that's where I really fell in love. So it started off just on a quest for this product, just to fix my health. And I ended up like basically finding my passion. When I started working with the bees, I started learning, not only did I go deeper about the different health applications of the amazing products they make, but I started learning about the really important role that they play in our environment. And the fact, you know, they pollinate 1/3 of our food supply, and the fact that they've really been in trouble in recent years. And that is really sort of when I fell in love with them. And working with them, it's a really wonderful thing for me. I find it really meditative, which sounds funny because the bees buzz and sting. But
it's like people's biggest fears.
It's so funny though, because they really, so when you're actually, I know it's a lot of people's fear, but the truth of the matter is bees don't actually want to sting you, and they really only sting if they feel threatened.
Cause don't they die when they sting you?
They do. Yeah. They die when they sting for honeybees.
This is a silly question, but do they somehow know that if they were to sting, that's the end of them?
I don't know.
I know. That's a silly question. Sure. How would you someone study that? Like, does the mom tell them, now listen, young child, don't ever go stinging someone, because that's how your Aunt Mimi died.
Okay. I can't answer that, but I can say that they definitely do die when they sting human skin. And an interesting thing about bees, and this is kind of like a really sweet thing, I think. So the bees, they have a barbed stinger. So when it plugs into human skin, it sort of gets attached and it rips their abdomen out, but they can sting other creatures and be totally fine. So the bees biologically are meant to be our friends, which is kind of cute.
Wow, that is cute. Yeah. That's fascinating. Wow. I mean, what a story about a passion finding a person. I mean, you were just a regular gal just prancing around Italy, doing her thing with the pasta and the wine. And now you're with the bees. You're one with nature and the bees, and you're making the product. And I mean, that is just incredible. I mean, did you ever have traces or like any hint of like loving nature and the environment and this natural stuff as a child? Or is this really just the most serendipitous, like your actual passion just like stung you in the face?
So I've always really loved nature. I've always been, you know, outdoorsy and obsessed with animals and really all creatures of the earth. So it does kind of make sense for me.
So you weren't just like this like banker, like, you know, on your phone all day, and then you became a woman of the earth.
I was definitely, as far as you can be a hippie chick at Goldman Sachs, I was pretty hippie chick.
Okay, cool.
so it definitely makes sense for me in that way. But specifically working with the bees, I never thought that would happen. If you told me that I was going to be CEO of a company that specializes in bee products, I would tell you you're crazy years ago.
Sure.
But of course it did really find me in a really special way.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. So, okay, your company, Beekeepers Naturals. I mean, we left off your story where you became a mentee of this guy, an apprentice. You're learning everything. You're learning about the environment. You're learning about the health applications. You're learning, I assume, different ways to consume it, all that. How did you then take that and start a company, like a very, very, very successful 7-figure company?
So it all happened by accident.
Of course.
As these wonderful things do. So yeah, so I'm working with the bees. I'm learning a ton. I'm really passionate about everything I'm doing. And that's just sort of how things are going for me at that time. And I'm making all these products and I'm starting to share them with friends. And next thing you know, friends on campus share them with their friends. And before you know it, there's people Facebook messaging me asking if they can purchase this product. And there's, you know, there's real demand for these products. And so that was a really interesting moment in time because I was like, okay, this is, you know, it's working for people beyond myself. This is a meaningful population who these products are really working for. There might be something to this. So I kind of had the idea at that stage that maybe this could be a company one day, but I was also terrified. And, you know, I had this fancy job offer at a hedge fund coming out of school. And that makes a lot more sense to your friends and family than a bee product company does. So I figured I should take that one. And so I ended up taking that job at the hedge fund and tabling my dreams of running a beekeeping organization and building these ideas into a business. And I went into finance and I was doing that for a few years. And it basically got to a point where I was really unhappy. You know, I'm really grateful for my experience at Goldman. I learned a lot. I bootstrapped my company for a while. And, you know, having a career like that afforded me that possibility, of course. But it was just really out of line with what I want and who I am. And I was working really long hours. It was really isolating. And it got to a point where I was just really depressed. And so I sat down with myself and I made a spreadsheet because that is what I know how to do. And I made a spreadsheet about happiness. And I was trying to figure out...
A spreadsheet about happiness?
Yes.
That's hilarious that I mean, you didn't journal, you didn't, you know, draw, you didn't just meditate, you made a spreadsheet. Oh my God. What were the columns?
So, oh my gosh, I don't even remember, but they were, it was all about just trying to find the point in time that I was the happiest in my life and how to go back to that. And I wasn't thinking about quitting my job or doing anything crazy at the time. I was just thinking that I need to find some pathway back to Happy Carly. And the thing that came up for me, the two things that I was really, you know, really loving was working with the bees and beekeeping and building products from the amazing natural things that the bees make. And so I was, you know, I was between Toronto and Manhattan at that time. So I didn't have any space to keep bees, but products I could do. And anyways, if I'm going to make bee products, then I want them to be pesticide free and I want to be able to control the quality and I want to be able to get them from those green spaces in the middle of nowhere. And I had access to that supply chain. So I called up the beekeeper who I used to apprentice for and asked if I could start buying his raw products. And I thought, you know, like the same way that people have baking as a hobby, you buy ingredients and you bake cakes or cookies and share them with friends. I was like, you know what, making bee products can be my thing. And I'll just make these bee products and I'll have like some amazing Christmas presents to give people. So I started doing it and just giving them out as presents. And then next thing you know, I was standing at farmers markets on Saturdays and Sundays and everyone, all my friends thought I was insane at this point.
Because were you still working your job?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a really cool story.
Yeah, so people really thought
I forget I'm interviewing. I'm just like listening and like enjoying. I feel like I'm listening to an episode of How I Built This. I'm like, oh, cool.
Amazing. But yeah, so, you know, people thought I was insane because I'm a trader by day. And then on the weekends, I'm standing at a farmer's market booth selling bee products. But it was a really amazing experience because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't selling honeys per se. I was selling propolis immune boosters and brain boosters and all of these really innovative products from the beehive. And, you know, I had a lot of customers who really championed me at that time. A lot of people who were part of the autoimmune protocol community or just had allergies to this or that or sensitivities or were just looking to try to get away from antibiotics and some of the conventional chemical filled solutions that are available out there. And I kind of built up this cult following, and it started, you know, with these customers at the farmer's market. And the next thing you know, they were like, hey, can my sister-in-law in Chicago wants to try this product. How can I get it to her? And it got to a point where I was accidentally, you know, shipping across the US and I had to set up a website. And so it all really did happen just in a reactive way. At that point, I think I was still in denial about leaving Goldman or building it into a real business. And I was just trying to kind of have this hobby and pretend it was nothing really. And everyone thought it was kind of quirky and cute that I was making bee products, but a silly waste of time. But, you know, it was really building up because the reality is these products work and there's a consumer base out there who are looking for more natural courses of intervention. And I think there's a lot of natural products on the market, but a lot of them are not as effective as people need them to be. And so with these, you know, they're completely natural. There's really clean ingredients, but they actually do work. And they work for a really broad demographic of people. And one of them being the autoimmune protocol community, who's really underserviced. And
what does that mean? Let me just interrupt for, what does that mean, the autoimmune protocol community?
So it's just a group of people who are following AIP or autoimmune protocol, and it's a group of people with autoimmune disease, and that can be anything from Hashimoto's to eczema. So it's just anyone
with an autoimmune disorder,
yeah,
condition,
and yeah, and there's a lot of people say, like, beyond autoimmune, there's a lot of people today with really unique viruses, everything, you know, Lyme disease, SIBO, then autoimmune things like colitis and. You name it, there's so many different things that are sort of nagging at people today that can really limit their, can really be restrictive when it comes to their diet.
Right, totally.
Yeah, and so for that group of people, having something all natural that's truly effective when they get a cold, flu, sore throat, that's really important.
Got it.
Because they can't necessarily just go to CVS and buy whatever because it has binding agents and sugars and whatever preservatives.
Right. Nor should non, you know, autoimmune protocol people, right? I mean, they'll be severely impacted, but regs people don't want that crap in them either, or they shouldn't.
Exactly. And you know, now we service a really broad customer base, but at that time, it was sort of that subgroup.
That's that cult following.
And, you know, people would share in message boards, and then all of a sudden we'd have like this crazy spike on our website. So anyways, it's all sort of reactive. I'm pretending that this is just still my little hobby and I'm going down the line at Goldman Sachs. And at the same time, it's really growing. And that's one thing that I really love about the company is it really came from an organic place. It's not like I saw a hole in the market and was like, profit opportunity, let's seize the day. I really was just doing something that I loved and sharing something that helped me and responding to the demand of some people who it was really working for.
That's so cool.
So anyways, I'm still working at Goldman.
How old are you at this time during this period?
I was 26 I think it was 26.
Wow.
25.
And how did you know, like, when that dude, the beekeeper dude, was sending you the raw materials, like, how did you know what to do with them? I mean, you say you were turning them into all these products. How did you know how to make these products?
Because I made these formulas when I was in college. So when I was an apprentice for him, I had the added benefit of being a student. So I would use our chemistry lab and I would just make different things out of these products. So I ordered a bunch of lab gear on Amazon.
No.
my kitchen looked like a meth lab. It was kind of crazy.
Oh my God. Do you have photos of this?
I don't know. I still do. I tried to not take photos of it because it was so crazy looking.
People would love to see that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I honestly would try to not share that with people. At that time, I wish now that I had photos of that. But yeah, so I was making all this stuff in my apartment. And next thing you know, I'm selling online and we're shipping nationally. And I have to go to a co-packer and drop shipper and sort this stuff out. And I was literally just figuring it out as I went, you know. Like, I didn't know what a drop shipper was. Google that.
Yeah.
Do I need that?
Someone mentioned it.
So that was just kind of how things were happening. And then a Canadian distribution company wanted to take on our products. And so that happened. And then we launched with Whole Foods across Canada. And it got to a point where we were selling our products in, you know, 500, 600 stores across Canada, shipping internationally. And I was living this double life. I was also working at Goldman. And I was the only employee of this company and sort of figuring everything out myself. And I was like, you know what, someone needs to run this company full time. And I want it to be me. And it's going to be me. And so I left Goldman end of 2016 to really professionalize my company and take it from this little hobby to really, you know, making an organization out of it. And everyone thought I was completely insane. Everyone thought I was destroying my life, blowing up my life. People interventioned me.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. It was a hard time. To be fair though, you know, people who care about you, they think you have this incredible career opportunity and you're quitting to become a beekeeper and sell bee products. And, you know, they can't understand the scale at which I was selling. And, you know, I'm selling a lot of it online and they just want me to throw away opportunity and sink all my life savings into this thing and wind up sort of screwed. So it came from a good place, but it was really hard to hear. Mm-hmm. But it was also the most incredible thing that could have happened to me, because to have to face all of that doubt and negativity that early into building something, mm-hmm. I had to really be sure of myself, really build my confidence, and really be able to draw on myself for support. And that's what you really need to have a startup and that's build a company amazing. And ride through the waves. And so it was, I'm actually really grateful for all of the wild reactions. But there were a lot of wild ones. And so after I left Goldman, I booked a flight to Southeast Asia to get away from everyone who knew me and all of the noise and opinions, and put my head down and work. And that's what I did. I went to Southeast Asia for 3 months and I spent a lot of time just kind of working, redoing my business plan, working on projections, formulating some new products. And the plan was to come back and really launch this in a professional way. And that's what I did. 3 months later, I came back. I ended up raising a pre-seed a year and a half ago and haven't really looked back.
That's been kind of crazy. Amazing.
And we went from one employee a year and a half ago to 16 people now.
One six people?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. That's amazing. That's awesome. And we just celebrated International Women's Day. So I applaud you. That is freaking badass. That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Excuse me for a sec. I just want to pop in here with a quick little thing I've been doing as of late that makes being healthy way less sucky, which you know is the entire point of the Party in My Plants podcast. So yay. I've been buying my non-perishable groceries. So like everything but my fresh plants on Thrive Market, and I completely feel like I'm beating the healthy eating system, which makes me feel really happy but also slightly sad for all the folks in the long lines at the Whole Foods across the street from me. Although grocery shopping is a good time to listen to podcasts like this one, so I hope they're at least doing that. Anyway, if you don't know about Thrive Market or you've seen ads for it and haven't really investigated what their dealio is like me until I started using them, because while I've been working on my cookbook, I've started to loathe grocery shopping and needed a better way, let me spark notes Thrive for you. They're Amazon Prime meets Whole Foods. On Thrive, you can literally shop for thousands of the best-selling organic foods and natural products just like you'd find at Whole Foods or in the healthy aisle at Stop and Shop or Kroger's or wherever, but at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices. All of Thrive's packaging is made from recycled paper and is recyclable, which is fetch. They're 100% carbon neutral, which takes away all the G to the ilt about ordering from them, right? Right. And they get from checkout on my app while I'm watching a Friends rerun to hey yo at my doorstep in 2 days. Also, you know how Phoebe says to Joey that there's no selfless good deed? Well, she is right, because by hooking yourself up with Thrive, you're also helping to make it possible for low-income families, teachers, and veterans to access health-supportive foods thanks to Thrive's Gives initiative, which means that when you sign up for Thrive, yeah, they're a membership thing just like Amazon Prime, they donate a free membership to match yours. So yeah, Phoebe, using Thrive really does make you feel better about yourself. And it also takes the hell out of being healthy, because you can get everything you need. Non-GMO food, crap-free snacks, plant party kitchen staples, daily vites and sups, eco and human-friendly cleaning supplies, safe and non-toxic beauty and bath products, home goods, organic baby products, pet products, and mas more. If you're new to Thrive Market and want to give them a try, you can get an extra 25% off your first purchase and a free 30-day trial just because you listen to the Party in My Plants podcast. How sweet of a party favor is that? Could my voice get any higher? 25% off their already super low prices just by using my link, thrivemarket.com/party, and you don't even need a code. Oh, and when you go to thrivemarket.com/party, you'll see a compilation, like I'm Beethoven over here, of like 27 of my favorite things to buy on Thrive. I have my non-toxic but non-lousy mascara and highlighter on there, my go-to stapes like oats, pasta, salt, coconut oil, maple syrup, quinoa, dates, and my favorite superfoods for super less money than any other place I've ever found them. Oh, and my favorite chocolate and dish soap. Equally important stuff. To check out the Party in My Plans curated list of goods, plus to get that great 20% discount off your first order and a free 30-day trial, just go to thrivemarket.com/party and let's get back to this awesome party we're in the middle of. Okay, I need to know, you know, we've hyped this up for over 20 minutes. You're talking about how it's healing all these people, how it healed you, how this shit's so good. I need to know all about the healing effects of all this bee stuff. So, you know, you say that your products utilize the superfoods of the hive, which is really cool. And you talk about four major superfoods: raw honey, royal jelly, propolis, and bee pollen. So I'd love if you could explain each of those hive superfoods.
Absolutely. So I will start with propolis because that is my favorite, and that's the single substance that introduced me to this entire world of bees. So everyone knows honey. Honey is made from floral nectars, whereas propolis is made from plant and tree resins. So think of things like sap and the different resins coming from trees. That's the base ingredient for it. And the bees take those resinous substances and they put them through their enzymatic process, and they make this sticky substance called propolis. And then how they use it in the hive, they use it as the bee's medicine or immune system. So they literally line all the hive walls with this propolis stuff to protect the hive and keep it germ-free. Wow. They line the inside of the cells for newborns to create a sterile environment for the baby bees. They have a propolis mat at the front door. And this is really interesting. Let's say an intruder gets into a hive like a mouse. Remember earlier, I was talking about how bees can sting other creatures and survive.
But yeah.
Yeah. So let's say, so a mouse gets into the hive. It's a predator. The bees can sting it and kill it, but they can't physically carry a dead rodent out of their hive. And just like humans, if we had a dead body in our living room, it would rot and decay and get pretty, it would make us very sick. Oy. And so the bees, they actually mummify this dead rodent in propolis. And it's that powerful of an antibacterial, antimicrobial substance that it protects the entire hive from this decaying rodent in their living room.
Holy
so
crap. Wow.
For the bees, it's a medicine, it's a protector, it's an immune booster. And for humans, it functions very much in the same way. So for humans, it's antiviral, antifungal, antimicrobial, and antibacterial. So really great for cold, flu, sore throat, as well as just preventing any sort of immune concerns. And then there's over 300 beneficial compounds. So it's super anti-inflammatory. It's full of things like caffeic acid. It's really helpful for post-oxidative stress. So, you know, exercise-induced free radicals. It's really high in antioxidants. And another really interesting thing about propolis is that it's not new at all. So the first recorded human use of propolis dates back to 300 BC. I always say that propolis is like the OG antibiotic. It's really what people were using. And, you know, in the Boer War, they would dress wounds with propolis. The Incas used to drink propolis to reduce fever. It's said that Aristotle actually coined the term propolis, which means defender of the city. Aww. And this is really cool. In the 17th century, the London Pharmacopedia actually listed propolis as an official drug. So it has all of these really amazing plant and bee-derived compounds. And we have this really rich medicinal history with it. But I think, you know, it was mostly lost in North America. And honeybees aren't native to North America to begin with. So there's not as great of an awareness of it. And I think with the advent of antibiotics, we kind of moved away from certain plant-based medicines. And this one is a little bit more nuanced because it's coming from the beehive.
Wow.
But for us, I love propolis for immune boosting. I use it every single day to boost my immune system. I'll do like 3 to 5 sprays a day.
Okay,
and then
wait.
If I'm traveling.
Sprays. What is the texture of propolis? What are we talking about?
So we have a liquid, it's a liquid propolis, and we wanted to make it convenient, portable, and suitable for the modern human. Mm-hmm. So we have like a little spray bottle of propolis, and it's a little throat spray.
Cool.
And so you can keep it in your purse, your pocket, your glove compartment.
You could fly
whatever,
with it, you were just about to say, for traveling.
Yeah, exactly. So anytime I will not get on a plane without propolis, just because when you're exposing yourself to bacteria like that and the inflammation of flying, and the last thing you want to do is get sick on your vacation. So
does it taste like honey?
Yeah, it has a sweet taste. It's a little bit more medicinal tasting than honey, but it's still, I really love the taste.
Wow. I mean, what's so cool is that you didn't just start this company, you know, because you heard of this and thought it was cool or a quick get rich thing. It saved you. I mean, you are a walking, talking billboard of the effects of this, and it radiates out of you. Like, I think everybody listening, if I'm any example, is like salivating for a propolis right now. Like, it just sounds like such a wonderful thing, like a hidden gem of the hive.
Well, we'd probably have a healthier world if everyone was salivating for propolis. The cool thing about propolis, I like to compare it to oil of oregano because it's similar in its germ fighting capabilities. But unlike oil of oregano, it's a lot softer on the system. It's
prebiotic. I was just going to say that oil of oregano destroys my stomach, kills it.
Yeah. Okay. So propolis will be okay for you. Propolis is actually really great for digestion. It's actually really great for colitis because it reduces intestinal inflammation. So people with digestive disorders, lots of them just use propolis for that. And then it just has the added benefit of boosting your immune system.
Sick. You know, as you're talking, I have to admit, I don't know enough about how bees operate and like even what a beehive is. You're talking about like inside and the mouse and like walls. Can you just like do like a little magic school bus kind of trip with us here and just like remind me of what I probably learned when I was a child about what bees, how they work and what a hive is and all that?
Of course, my favorite subject.
Oh, fun.
So, and by the way, most people don't know this stuff. So, I'm really happy you're asking because they play such an important role in our environment. So,
yeah, I know nothing.
Bees are the world's most important pollinators. They pollinate 1/3 of our food supply. And what that means is these are basically, pollination is the reproduction process of plants. And it basically means that bees are responsible for making a lot of our food grow, a lot of our crops. Oh. From almonds, you know, there's a huge, huge list of plants that can't self-pollinate. They can't self-reproduce, and they need to rely on a third party to help them reproduce or make more of themselves. And, you know, things like almonds, avocados, apples, even coffee is partially bee-pollinated. So the bees are playing a major role in our food production, our food system. So that's part of why they're so important. And the bees have been in decline in recent years due to a variety of factors, one of the big ones being pesticides. Mm-hmm. And if we lose the bees, then we're going to have huge issues with our food supply and our ecosystem at large, because a lot of plants really rely on the bees to reproduce. So
is there a way, are people coming up with ways that to pollinate in lieu of bees? Like, is that something, an innovation?
I mean,
that
In China, people are talking about making robot bees.
No.
People are using Q-tips and workers are being paid to go around and pollinate.
Are you serious? Wow.
But it's not, haven't seen any sustainable option. And beyond specific crop types, just the effects on the ecosystem at large, like all of the flowering plants that are bee pollinated that other creatures rely on mm-hmm. as a food source, if the bees right. went away, these other creatures would lose their food source, and it would just be this really scary ripple effect. Like, if you think of the world without bees is basically a desert wasteland. Like, the amount of things that rely on bees to grow is pretty remarkable.
I had no idea. Does it frustrate you that, like, I'm probably not the only one who has no idea? I mean, I assume most people have unless I'm mistaken, there's no like bee documentaries going on right now the same way that there's all these other, you know, problems that everyone's talking about.
Are there some documentaries? Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that a lot of people don't know about these issues, that's part of my company's mission. So as much as we're on a mission to heal and give people cleaner ingredients and cleaner options to feel healthy, we're also really dedicated to starting that conversation about the role bees play and getting people involved in the solution. And so, you know, we're a benefit corp. We partner with UC Davis Bee Research. We're always running campaigns around from awareness to, we actually have a campaign running right now. I don't know when this podcast is going to air, but we're doing a campaign right now for International Women's Day. Well, we're doing it for the month, where people post about a queen bee or a woman in their life who's really inspiring. And if they use the hashtag my queen bee with a bee emoji and then tag Beekeepers Naturals, for everyone who does that, we're giving $1 to UC Davis Bee Research. So we're always looking for opportunities to generate awareness and support our research partners. And we're really trying to have that conversation. And it's been really amazing. Most people come in having no idea what the bees do.
Yeah.
And they end up really feeling passionate about these little creatures that are responsible for so much of the sustenance that we rely on.
It's amazing. You're describing is amazing. So they're helping keep our crops alive that we eat and also all the plants alive that the animals eat. And, you know,
yeah,
the whole
ecosystem. Exactly.
Okay. So when they do that, they're just flying around and making this happen. And then what happens in the hive? What's the hive all?
So in the hive is a busy place. There's the queen bee. There's one queen bee per hive. The queen bee will lay around 1,500 babies a day. And she sort of controls the show. And then there's tons of worker bees. They're all women. Worker bees, their job, they do everything. So they're doing all the heavy lifting. They're foraging for food. They're tending to the young. And they actually will have different jobs based on their age. And it's really like a utopian society. Like everyone is working together for the collective good. And then there's drone bees, which are male bees.
What are they called?
And drones.
Oh,
they're the men.
Drones.
And they literally do nothing but reproduce. And so
with the queen bee or with other bees? Just the queen bee.
Just the queen. They mate with the queen. And then if they mate with the queen, they will die. The queen will kill them.
Oh my God.
The sexual endeavor. Well, they don't really have much of a purpose really other than reproduction. And then, the colder months, they'll usually be kicked out of the hive because they're a drain on resources.
Wow. Life sucks for men in the hive.
Yeah. It's a really interesting structure.
Wow.
But
I had no idea.
It's really fascinating because all these different bees have very specific jobs. They're very busy working together and they have really intricate systems. Like for example, when they're out foraging, which is finding pollen and nectar and propolis, let's say that one of the bees finds a really amazing source. They find a really good patch of flowers. They'll come back to the hive and they'll do a dance called either the waggle or the roundhouse to show their sister bees like, hey, there's a kick-ass buffet of flowers over here. Follow me. And that's how the other bees will know to go check it out. Yeah.
Are you serious? All these,
it's so cool. It's so cool. There's all these little cool things that happen in the hive.
Oh my God.
This is why I'm obsessed with bees.
I'm kind of going to join your company after this call. If you need an intern.
The bees are the coolest. Oh my God. The bees are the coolest.
They sound so funny. Oh my God. They do dances. It's a feminist show up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. And so, and they're made, what is honey to them? Like, why are that? Like all the honey, the jelly, the pollen, propolis.
So propolis is their medicine. Honey is their carbs. It's their energy source. So honey is collected from nectar, floral nectar. They actually have two stomachs. They have their regular stomach and their honey stomach. And so their honey stomach is basically a nectar backpack. And they carry the nectar back in their honey stomach. And then they put it into a comb. They fan it out to take all the water and they allow it to ferment a bit. And so honey becomes their day-to-day food and their carbs. And for humans, honey is, one, it's a really healthy sweetener compared to the other options for sweetening things. It's pretty delicious.
Oh, yeah.
But it also has all of these amazing nutrients. It's really high in antioxidants. It has antiviral activity. It's really high in enzymes. Honey is actually the only food on the planet that never goes bad. There was honey found in Egyptian tombs. It's still nutritionally intact. And that's a testament to its enzyme quality. And honey also has some amino acids in it. One little cool life hack with honey, you can actually use honey to help you sleep through the night and get a better sleep. Because when you take honey, it allows the tryptophan in it to cross the blood-brain barrier where it's converted into serotonin and melatonin in the dark. So, it's a natural, well-documented sleep aid. And then the other reason honey's good before bed is because it helps to stock your glycogen stores in the liver. And sometimes, especially with women, they can wake up in the middle of the night and that's their brain sort of on a crisis search for fuel. And so if you have honey before bed, it's sort of like a slow release and it stocks the glycogen levels. So you don't have that wake up in the middle of the night situation.
Oh my God. How much honey before bed are you prescribing just this year?
Just a teaspoon. Just a teaspoon. And I like to put a pinch of Himalayan salt with it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so that's a really great way to help to relax your body before bed. So propolis is the medicine. Honey is the carbs.
Now, let me interrupt for 1 sec. Sorry. Yeah. When we're talking honey, let's just clarify, because my whole journey started when I went raw vegan years and years ago, but I was vegan for plant purposes, for personal purposes, not consuming animal product purposes. So I consumed raw honey at that time, and I still do. And I learned then about the magic of raw honey. But I think there's still confusion out there about just honey versus raw honey, you know, all this stuff. So can you explain to people the difference between specifically raw honey and like the honey that you squirt out of a plastic bear?
Yes, I love that you brought this up, because oh my gosh, world of difference.
Yes.
So raw honey is amazing and nourishing, raw or unpasteurized. It's nourishing. It's full of antioxidants, vitamins, minerals. It's hydrating. You can use it topically. It's a humectant, so it's amazing for skin. Pasteurized honey or non-raw honey is honey that has all the nutrients essentially boiled out of it. Yeah. And that's how it stays squeezy and liquidy. So, you know, when you buy the squeezy bear bottle, the honey stays liquidy and you can squeeze it out. And then sometimes with raw honey over time, it gets really hard and crusty looking.
Yeah.
So that's normal. That's the process of crystallization. That does not mean that your honey is bad. Raw honey does not go bad, or honey generally does not go bad. That's just a natural process that will occur with raw honey. And that's why in the squeezy bear bottles, they pasteurize it. They basically boil all the nutrients out, leaving you a sugar water. But that way it stays in a liquid form and yes, it can squeeze out of those easy bottles and it's easy to use.
And it tastes – I honestly hate the taste of pasteurized honey. It tastes like
sugar.
It. Like if someone put – I refuse to put it in tea. If someone puts it in tea and I taste it, I won't drink. I don't know. I have like an aversion to the taste of it, but I could eat raw freaking honey by the tablespoon. It is dangerous. So back in the day when I started consuming honey, it was really because I have really crappy stomach issues. And even to this day, like if I get home from a trip and my stomach's just like, ugh, airplane, ugh, travel, I'll go into my pantry and just take a little spoonful of raw honey.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? I guess I'm like kind of asking for like a high five / like why that is good.
You get a major high five for that. And if you want to upgrade that even more, have a little bit of propolis as well.
Well, I didn't even know how to pronounce that till today. So I will include that now.
And add some cinnamon to the raw honey as well. That's okay. Like a really ultimate digestive tonic. So the honey, it's that enzyme quantity. It's really high in enzymes. It's really, really nourishing and healing. I say to add propolis because propolis is super anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling inflamed at all, there's anything in your gut that's sort of feeling out of whack, and it's also prebiotic, which is really nice.
Perfect.
So those sprays of propolis will help. And then cinnamon as well to regulate blood sugar.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Tell us about royal jelly, please.
Yes. Yeah, so royal jelly is the superfood of the hive. It's the exclusive food of the queen bee. So in the hive, for the first 3 days of development, all bees will eat royal jelly. And then after the first 3 days, all of the other baby bees transition off onto a diet of pollen and honey. And only the bee who's to become queen stays on her diet of royal jelly.
Because she's the royal queen.
Exactly. And if you look at how
who comes
she
up
develops,
with this stuff? It's hilarious.
I mean, nature, it's crazy. But yeah, it's wild. And so if you look at the way that the queen bee develops in nature on her royal jelly diet, you know, she'll live 3 to 5 years versus a regular bee during foraging season who lives 6 to 8 weeks. The queen bee can lay, you know, tons of babies a day, whereas regular worker bees don't have reproductive organs. Mm-hmm. And then if you just Google a picture of a queen bee versus a worker bee, you'll see the queen is much more robust. So in nature, it's obviously working some magic. And then for humans, there are so many amazing benefits. So anecdotally, across cultures, royal jelly has been used for so many things. In traditional Chinese medicine, it's been used for fertility and hormonal balance for both men and women. In Europe, it's often used for anti-aging. It's used topically for collagen building, for skincare and antioxidants. But then when you look at the science. And when you look at, you know, Western studies that are really kind of happening and have happened recently, they're focused on royal jelly's effects on the brain. And that's where we're really focused, because we build all of our products naturally, but with a scientific lens. So we're always looking at third-party accredited studies, and that's sort of the basis for how we formulate things. So royal jelly, there's been quite a few studies looking into its effects on the brain. One study came out from University of Warsaw, and it found that regular consumption of royal jelly actually increases your spatial reasoning, which is really cool. And if you just break it down, like the reason why royal jelly would work on a neurological level, so royal jelly contains acetylcholine, which is the neurotransmitter responsible for brain-body connections. So you can think of royal jelly as speeding up your transmission system. Wow. It also contains these two fatty acids called 10-HDA and AMPN1 oxide. And these two fatty acids, they act as a catalyst for neurogenesis, and they help to promote BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So they literally help your brain to create new neurons. So for people who are struggling with concussions, royal jelly can be an incredible thing to include for the aging population who's looking to prevent things like Alzheimer's, dementia. Royal jelly is a really great natural thing to help support the brain. And, you know, for you and me and everyone else, it's super nourishing for the brain. It's also a great way to improve focus, memory, and concentration. And then also it has, you know, other benefits. It's full of antioxidants. It has immune boosting properties.
It sounds like all the bee products have antioxidants, immune boosting types of
products. Yeah. They really antiviral. Do. So propolis, actually, according to the ORAC chart, is one of the highest sources of antioxidants. It has more antioxidants than blueberries.
What is the texture of royal jelly? Like, what's the consistency?
So the consistency, it's like, it doesn't really taste very good. That's why we put it in our supercharged honey, or we have it in the shot.
Okay.
Because on its own, it kind of tastes gross, and it looks like a white jelly.
Okay. Doesn't sound very appealing.
It
but
doesn't.
If you hide
it's
it.
Like so nourishing, and we bring it to you in, like, combined with the right other bee superfoods to make it palatable.
Perfect. Okay, cool. And bee pollen, which, I mean, bee pollen's in. I mean, people know about it, right? It's kind of like a hippie food.
So it's funny. People know about it, but they don't really know why they're taking it.
You're right. You're 1,000% right.
So, I mean, I'm happy they're taking it, because bee pollen is amazing. It's another thing that I have in my routine every day. So bee pollen, I actually just had it on top of my smoothie this morning. So bee pollen is the protein source for the hive. So just as a recap, propolis is the medicine. It's the immune booster. Honey is the carbs and the energy source. Royal jelly is the superfood. And for humans, it's the ultimate brain elixir. And then pollen, for the bees, it's the protein. And for humans, it's protein and vitamin. So I like to think of bee pollen as nature's multivitamin. Not only does bee pollen have more protein per weight than any animal source, it's full of BCAAs, all kinds of...
I did not know that. I supplement with BCAAs.
This is why pollen's like the best natural supplement.
Wow.
It's full of a really great array of vitamins and minerals. So, you know, it's got vitamin C, D, E, A, you know, got a bunch of different amazing vitamins in there. So it's really great to just sort of cover your bases nutritionally. For me, I'm always traveling and on the go. And when I'm traveling, you know, I don't have routine in my diet, and I'm eating at restaurants a lot. And so I always carry a little thing of pollen with me. And it just sort of helps me to cover my bases nutritionally. And the other thing that's really nice is there's a lot of vitamins out there, but, you know, we don't always absorb things that well. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes things you titrate, you pee them out, or sometimes these different supplements will have binding agents or fillers or stuff in them that you don't really want. And the thing about bee pollen is it's a functional food. It's really easily digestible. It's got all of those amazing enzymes that the bees make. It's really something that your body can integrate and break down. So it's really great for anyone with nutritional deficiencies or anyone who's just looking to supplement. A big thing that pollen does is it increases your energy levels, and it also can increase endurance. So there's actually a study done with competitive athletes, and it found that consuming bee pollen increases their blood hemoglobin value. So it actually helps to oxygenate the tissue and increases your endurance. So I love to have pollen as a pre-workout.
How do you take it? I mean, also, in addition to how do you take it, I know, like, all the bottles I've ever gotten or the jars, they always say, like, basically, like, start slow, like, integrate slowly. Like, I feel it's like everyone's, like, giving me a big warning. What's up with that?
So a lot of people are allergic to pollen. It's definitely not for everyone. For some people, it's not accessible. The other thing too, it's so high in vitamins and minerals. It's like chugging a bottle of multivitamins. Like, you don't need to have that much.
Okay.
But the big thing is the allergies. So pollen is not suitable for everyone. A lot of people think that they can use pollen to help their allergies. Mm-hmm. For some people, that's great. Mm-hmm. It can go really well. It depends. It's really case specific though. So, you know, it's not like a one size fits all thing. I really actually recommend propolis as the first course of intervention for allergies. And if that's working well, then you can maybe try some other things. But propolis is really effective at reducing allergies. It actually inhibits mast cell production, which is a precursor to histamine. And then it's also anti-inflammatory. So propolis is definitely a safer option for allergies.
What if you're allergic to bees? Sorry to interrupt.
So if you're allergic to bees, you're not necessarily allergic to bee products. Bee venom is different. But if you're allergic to bees, you should, you know, consult a doctor before trying stuff and try a little bit at a time and don't just dive into it, because you do want to be careful. So it does increase the likelihood that you wouldn't react well to other stuff. But we also have lots of customers who are allergic to bees and, you know, use this stuff religiously.
Hmm.
But yeah, so bee pollen, that's sort of how it works. And bee pollen is something too that I really won't use anyone else's, just because it's actually coming from the pollen of the flowers. So if there's pesticides, it's not something you really want.
Mm-hmm. And how do you consume it? How would one integrate bee pollen into their diet? I mean, the only way I've ever done that is either blended it into a smoothie or like sprinkled it on a smoothie bowl, as you said. Are there other ways that I'm totally oblivious
of? Oh yeah. So I sprinkle it. So I do what you do. I blend it into my smoothie. I sprinkle it on a smoothie bowl. I put it on my toast. I love making avocado toast with bee pollen on top and a little drizzle of honey.
Oh,
wow. We have like a lot of parents that will do almond butter, sort of like mock PB&Js, and sneak bee pollen into the sandwich.
Oh,
You can use it in savory dishes too. It's also, because it's so high in enzymes and free-forming amino acids, it really helps with digestion. So for me, like, I'll put it on a salad. I'll just kind of include it with whatever I'm eating.
How much do you consume a day of bee pollen?
So if you're using Beekeeper's Naturals bee pollen, a little bit goes a long way, because all of ours is raw and it's quite potent. So all you really need is a teaspoon. For me, I've been having bee pollen for so long that I have more than a teaspoon. And, you know, if you're responding really well, you know, see what works for you. But all you really need is a teaspoon a day.
Oh, easy. Just a teaspoon a day. Okay. Wow. This has been the coolest episode ever. I have a few more questions. I mean, I could go on for hours, but quickly, thoughts on sugar. I mean, people are very anti-sugar right now these days. You're selling sugar in a form, honey. I mean, I guess propolis and bee pollen and royal jelly are not sugar, right?
Talk to me about sugar. So we have honey, but we're not a honey company. We're much more focused on revamping your medicine cabinet.
Okay.
And as you mentioned, propolis, royal jelly, pollen, they have lower sugar. So propolis and royal jelly, our products with those are actually keto friendly. Our propolis spray has 0 grams of sugar. It has a nice taste, but don't be fooled. There's no sugar in that, and you're totally fine to have it on a keto diet.
Okay. I'm so glad I asked.
Yeah. And then royal jelly as well. No sugar in that. So our Beelixir shots are keto friendly. Of course, our supercharged honey, it's in a honey base, but it has, you know, pollen and propolis and royal jelly in it. And, you know, those things are fibrous and they reduce the insulin spike. And then the other thing too, even with honey and, you know, everything in moderation, I don't eat any refined sugar. So if I'm going to eat something sweet, I'm going to use honey to sweeten it. And that's much better for you than using a refined sugar. Honey has a lower glycemic index than sugar. And if you're using a high quality honey, in addition to having a lower glycemic index, it's also nourishing for the other reasons we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not a big sugar person. Generally, I have probably, you know, altogether, I have a tablespoon of honey a day, usually.
That's not even a lot.
No, it's not a lot, because I'll have like, we make these bee chill sticks. It's honey with CBD.
Oh my God. You sell that or you just make it?
Oh yeah. No, we sell them. They're really good.
What do you mean by like a stick?
So we have it in jars as well, but we have a lot of our customers were asking for them for on the go because people get anxiety on the go and carrying a honey jar in your purse is not the most convenient. So
oh, really? Not just pull that out in a meeting? Yeah. Excuse me, guys.
I have done that before.
I'm sure you have.
But yeah, so we make these on the go stick packs and it's raw honey with CBD, a little bit of MCT oil and some sunflower lecithin to make it more bioavailable and easily absorbed.
So
typically in my day, I do 3 to 5 sprays of propolis every single day. I do 1 or 2 teaspoons of royal jelly, of 1 or 2 teaspoons of bee pollen a day. I do a bee elixir shot every day. And then I'll have a chill stick because I have no chill and I need the help. And then before bed, I'll usually have a teaspoon of honey with a pinch of salt. And I use our CBD honey before bed as well. And then usually in the morning, I'll use a teaspoon of bee powered. And like with our products, they're formulated. So, you know, a little should go a long way and they should last you a long time. Like you should only need a teaspoon because if you look at our ingredient list, just, you know, on our website, if you're checking out products, look at the ingredient list and the back panel, you can see the photo of it. We're dealing in like pretty high quantity nutrients and short ingredient lists. Mm-hmm. So with the bee powered, for example, which is the supercharged honey, yes, it's in a honey base, but all you need is a teaspoon. And in that one teaspoon, you're getting a really high dosage of pollen, royal jelly, and propolis. So that will help to add some fiber and reduce the sort of spike. And then in addition, because all you need is a teaspoon, it's really not a crazy, crazy amount of sugar.
This is so cool. I'm on your website right now looking at the Bee Chill honey sticks. It's just like a pencil. If a pencil was full of honey and MCT and CBD oil, right? Like that's kind of what it looks like here. That's so cool. Awesome. This is amazing. Okay. So I guess I've asked like everything I could possibly think of pretty much about bees. Let me ask you, what are your thoughts on the whole vegan thing? Like, I know there's a lot of vegans who are like, oh, I don't want to consume bee products. What do you think about that? Do you have thoughts? Do you encounter those people?
So we always say that we are a vegan company. So we have actually a lot of vegans who they don't eat bee products other than Beekeepers Naturals bee products because they know that ours are sustainably sourced and that we prioritize the bees' health in the production. And what I always tell people who are vegan is with the current agricultural environment, most beekeepers, now they work in commercial pollination. So they work in an area where they get paid to truck the bees around to pollinate different plants. And that's a lot harsher on the bees. So if we actually can like create a resurgence in beekeeping and build demand for these different products, we can encourage this industry of keeping the bees and nurturing them and caring for them in a much more sustainable fashion. And then the other thing is it's much more damaging to eat an almond than it is to eat I can't vouch for anyone else, but Beekeepers Naturals bee products because more bees are harmed in commercial almond pollination than bees are harmed harvesting our products. Like bees really aren't harmed at all harvesting our products, you know, because we practice pesticide free. We're keeping them in a really clean environment. We're constantly monitoring the hives. We never over harvest and we love our bees and we treat them like, like our pets and like the wild, amazing creatures that they should be treated as. And we're really trying to nurture and restore bee populations over time.
So cool. Who replaces the queen bee when the queen bee is no longer? How does that work?
Another great question. The bees will make a new queen and they make a new queen by building a queen cell, which is basically like a larger room.
What?
And putting some, they just build like a larger room for the queen and then they feed that larva. They put a larva in there and then they just feed her royal jelly.
You are joking. Oh my God. I don't even know what to say. That is so badass. They build a room and then they put a larva in and they feed it royal jelly and then a queen is born.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. That's really rad. Okay. You're less impressed, but I'm like freaking out. Okay.
I know a lot of this stuff. I'm always impressed by bees, so I get
so
it.
Cool. I feel like we could learn a lot of life lessons from bees.
100%.
You should write a book. Okay. Finally, just my final planty questions, and then I will let you get out of here. I know that you love your honey, but what's your other favorite plant to eat?
Ooh, I love kale.
Okay, wow, something green. I've been like in this like golden ideal as we've been speaking, so green. Kale.
Okay, so can I tell you one of my favorite things to make, not to like keep bringing it back to honey, but I'll like okay, so I saute kale in avocado oil, mm-hmm. and then I take walnuts and I lightly, like, I'll put them in a pan or I'll put them on like a baking sheet and drizzle some honey over and a little bit of oil and just bake them for like a really short amount of time and put those on top of the kale and then some bee pollen on top of the kale. It is so good. And like a pinch of salt.
Is that like a snack?
Yeah, it's like sweet and savory. That's like a side dish.
Side dish.
Sometimes it's a snack.
That sounds
wonderful. It's like with my lunch.
Okay. So a side dish. That sounds fantastic. That's so cool. I bet you have so many rad uses for honey and bee pollen and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. We have so many recipes on our website.
Oh, perfect. Oh, great. Stuff. Okay, good. So, well, where should everyone go for all that?
So check us out. Our Instagram is beekeepers_naturals. We have a really awesome Instagram page. I know I'm biased, but we give a lot of good information, everything from all pillars of our brand. So we give a lot of information on these different products and how you can help them. You can incorporate them into your routine to help you heal. We give a lot of information on the cause and the state of affair with the bees and really just, you know, cool bee facts. Then we have tons of recipes and cool stuff like that.
Awesome. And do you still live in New York?
No, I'm in LA now.
Oh, you're in LA. Okay. Well, what is your favorite planty restaurant to eat in LA or wherever?
So I don't know if this qualifies as a restaurant necessarily, but Erewhon, I'm obsessed with it.
It's
like Whole Foods times 1,000.
Right. I've never been, but I heard it's the Mecca.
It's insane. It's like, it is the worst addiction because it will bankrupt you.
Right.
Everything's so expensive, but it's pretty awesome. I also really love plant food and wine in LA.
I love it. There's actually one that just opened here in New York.
Yeah. And in New York. So I lived in New York for a while. So my favorite, not that you asked, but I will
share it, please.
Volunteer. ABC Kitchen, I really love.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir. Everybody listening knows ABC Kitchen and ABCV are my faves. And Neil, the chef of ABCV, has been on the podcast. So big ABC fans.
I think we're actually going to be selling our products at ABC Kitchen soon.
Oh, awesome.
Or not the kitchen, sorry.
At ABC Home. That makes sense. And do you sell at Erewhon? I assume you do.
We do. We sell our products at Erewhon. We're in select retailers all over the place. And then you can also buy everything at beekeepersnaturals.com. We're on Amazon as well.
Oh, that's nice. Amazon. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on. So Beekeepers Naturals is what we're talking about here on Instagram, your website, you're on Amazon, you're in stores, you're everywhere, and you are changing the game for these bees and for us. And it's really incredible and inspiring. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me share my story. This is awesome.
Yay! Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I told you this episode was the bee's knees. Carly's palpable passion for propolis and royal jelly and bee pollen and honey just sticks with you, doesn't it? The night after I recorded this and I put some raw honey on a spoon with a sprinkle of cinnamon and a couple pinches of bee pollen. Oh, and I realized after recording this with Carly that I'd been using her brand of bee pollen already, which is kind of funny. But anyway, I put that all on a spoon and Jesse looked up at me crazily, but I, you know, took my sleepy medicine and it tasted damn great. And I slept like a dream. It's too soon to say if the honey concoction helped me sleep like a dream, but I don't mind trying again, okay? I will take one for the team, guys. If you can think of a friend, a family member, or a coffee coworker who might enjoy this episode buzzing in their ears, please, please share it with them. And for a recap of this chat, plus so much more that makes being healthy actually enjoyable, fly your way over to partyinmyplants.com/134.